The right to life is listed as our first God-given rights mentioned in our nation's Declaration of Independence. But the abortion ethic, which has been so active in the last half century, has undermined that right to life. A new ministry that has arisen in the last few years is called Love Life, founded by Justin Reeder of North Carolina. In an interview we did with Justin Reeder for D. James Kennedy Ministries TV, he told our viewers, quote, "The whole mission of Love Life is to unite and mobilize the church to create a culture of love and life that would result to an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. We believe that God has called the church to shape the culture. He has called us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the city set upon a hill. He called the church to be the pillar and the foundation of truth," end quote. Recently, New Presbyterian Church in South Florida, where I have the privilege to serve as associate pastor, has been involved with Love Life. And I got to speak at an event for Love Life in South Florida to some of the volunteers on a peaceful prayer walk in front of an abortion clinic. The purpose of my talk was essentially to highlight some of the major myths that promote abortion. So here now is the audio from that talk. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. This is what I said in August in South Florida one Saturday morning.
I've been asked to give a little 7-minute message related to the pro-life. So let me start with this point. When Ronald Reagan was running for president, he was asked one time, "Why aren't you pro-choice?" And he said, "Well, first of all, I happen to notice that everybody who's pro-choice has already been born." I think that's a great line. It was a good line then. It's a great line now as well. There are three major myths I want to talk about related to this whole issue of abortion. And the first one is that this is not a baby. That is the unborn child. In fact, the word fetus is often used, and sometimes in derogatory means, but fetus comes from the Latin, and it just means unborn child. And in my work at D. James Kennedy Ministries Television, I've interviewed different people through the years, including people who used to be abortion workers. You were talking about some of the abortion workers that left wherever you are, Frank Trotter, there you are. And so anyway, what happened was one of these ladies named Carol Everett, she used to be a part owner of some of abortion clinics in the Dallas area, and she became a Christian, and then she got out of the field of abortion. She told me in an interview, she said this. She said, "Jerry, in the front of the clinic, they're asking, is it a baby? They're being told, no, it's just a blob of tissue. It's just a POC, a product of conception." But she said, in the back of the very same clinic, maybe even at the very same time, there's somebody assigned to the grisly task of reassembling the parts to make sure there's nothing left in utero. She said, they reassemble it, the head, the spine, the arms, the hands, the legs, the feet. It is a baby. I'm sure you all know the story about Abby Johnson, who wrote the book Unplanned. They even made a movie about it. But Abby was the manager of a clinic and was really good at selling abortions. And then one day at her own clinic, a visiting doctor came in and said, "I insist on using sonograms. I want to make sure that this, you know, is done safely." And so she couldn't find anybody to run the sonogram, so she had to run the sonogram for the doctor. And as she was looking at this little unborn baby in her own clinic that she was the manager of, 15 weeks, she saw it was a little boy. And this little boy must have understood that there was some sort of danger. He was trying to get away from some of the instruments as the doctor was poking things in. And then when he had it all right, he said, "Beam me up, Scotty." And they pulled the lever. And that poor little baby, it was like a tsunami. You know, trying to imagine what it would be like trying to swim through a tidal wave or through a tsunami. And she walked out of that room and she was just devastated. It was like, what have I given my life to? And you know what? That lady went on not only to write the book Unplanned, they made a great movie about it, but she started a ministry called And Then There Were None. She helps people out of the abortion industry. Her website, by the way, is abortionworker.com, as she helps these people. She said, you can't just leave the abortion industry and then just get a job at McDonald's flipping burgers or something like that. It's a whole mindset that, but what a ministry that they're doing. So anyway, myth number one, the baby inside the womb is really not a human being. In fact, I put an article in there on my website, our website, providenceforum.org, which is all about restoring America, getting America back to our founding principles as a nation, including the point that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And the first one, listen, is the right to life. And you look in that article, the first article I put, it says, a baby reflects the glory of God. And the Mayo Clinic has a lot of research in terms of what actually happens when a child is, or when there's fertilization, there's conception, and then what happens at each step. I mean, even week after week after week, you start reading these things and you realize, wow, God is really glorified through the process of a baby. But people are being lied to for the sake of money in some cases, just because there's a lot of money involved in the whole abortion industry. So anyway, one major myth, these are not human beings. Second major myth is that nobody cares about these babies. Well, that's not true. In fact, I think the fact that you all are here shatters that myth per se. But honestly, there's so many people who do care and provide loving alternatives. And by the way, long before Love Life even existed, there's several ministries and churches that still do the same thing. And thank God for Love Life helping to continue to carry the torch of that whole pro-life message. And another major myth I want to address is that sometimes people will say the church shouldn't be involved in any kind of political issue. Well, my mentor, Dr. D. James Kennedy, and I had the privilege to write some books with him and so forth. I still work for his TV ministry, which is a fantastic group. And in fact, we did a feature about Love Life just a few weeks ago, including with Rob Pacienza and then the Holly and Mark Douglas and Baby Serenity that was saved through Love Life. We did a whole television program. You can see it on our site, online. And so anyway, bottom line is, in this idea that the church shouldn't be involved in politics, Dr. Kennedy said this. He said, let me give an example. He said, from the beginning of the church to the present, okay, the church has been involved against abortion, but providing loving Christian alternatives from the very beginning. You know, in ancient Rome, when Christianity was born, it was a common practice to just throw away babies. If the fathers didn't want them, just throw away the babies. And that was a common practice. The Christians would go around and actually collect these babies, save these babies, rear them up in the Christian faith. That's one of the ways in which they were able to turn the tide in ancient Rome when they were trying to persecute the Christians and stamp out the church. And the church, by God's grace, prevailed. And so anyway, here's what Dr. Kennedy said. The church has always been involved in abortion. Now in the last generation or so, people are saying, well, abortion's a political issue. And Dr. Kennedy said, I'm still going to speak out about abortion because abortion is a moral issue. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, womb, you know, knit together in our mother's womb. So as Christians, we should be involved in abortion and some of these great moral issues, regardless if even some people say, or that some people want to politicize those issues. So some issues have political implications, but the church should still be on the right side of those things. I want to close with this one little anecdote. During the time of the Holocaust in the Netherlands, you know about the Corrie ten Boom and her family, where they hid Jews. They even wrote a book about it called The Hiding Place. Well, Corrie and her sister ended up getting captured by the Nazis. They were brought to concentration camps. Her sister died there. But Corrie was so faithful to what she did, she wrote about this in the book, The Hiding Place. And Corrie reminded us this always. And this is a great approach to life, whether you're dealing with abortion or whatever issues. She said, look to others, be distressed. Look to self, be depressed. Look to Jesus and be blessed. May we pray. Father, thank you so much that you are the Lord of life. Thank you, Lord, you knit us in our mother's wombs, and you have a purpose for us, and we praise you and thank you. And we ask, dear God, would you be willing that today, maybe somebody that was actually thinking of going into that clinic and getting an abortion, that by your grace, and even perhaps our presence, they would change their mind and lives would be saved. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.
I'm Jerry Newcomb, and you've just been listening to a speech that I gave in a South Florida event on behalf of a pro-life group called Love Life. In that message, I referenced how there are amazing details about the humanity of the unborn. And at this point, I want to share a few examples of those. The Mayo Clinic staff have put together some great information on fetal development. In fact, I will link to their article about that, about this fetal development that is so amazing. It seems that the miracle of life begins at the very beginning and then keeps on going from there. And in fact, in what I'm just about to share, I won't even go beyond the first trimester. The Mayo Clinic says that by the time of fertilization, the baby's gender and traits such as eye and hair color and to some extent personality and intelligence are set. 3 weeks after conception, your baby is about the size of the tip of a pen. 4 weeks after conception, your baby's heart is pumping blood. Also, 4 weeks after conception, basic facial features will begin to appear, including passageways that will make up the inner ear and arches that will contribute to the jaw. And yet, at this point, your baby is no bigger than the size of a pencil eraser. 5 weeks after conception, your baby's brain and face are rapidly developing. 7 weeks after conception, the baby's arms, elbows, toes, and eyelids develop. Yet the baby is only 3/4 of an inch long at this stage. 8 weeks after conception, the eyelids begin to close for protection. 10 weeks after conception, fingernails now develop. Yet by this stage, the baby only weighs about 1/2 ounce. And on it goes in the miracle preceding birth. And again, this is only in the first 3 months. America needs to get back to fostering a culture of life, not a culture of death. As the founders of America even said, our Creator has endowed us with unalienable rights, and first among these, the right to life. For Providence Forum, now a division of D. James Kennedy Ministries, I'm Dr. Jerry Newcomb.